In our gospel reading today, Jesus is having a conversation with a Samaritan woman, and the conversation centered around the location of a well. As they talk, it leads to a deeper discussion about living water. And that leads to a question: how do I get this living water? As this discussion unfolds about the culture of the Samaritans and the Jews, comes Jesus' summation of what worship is. Jesus said, "But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him." You see, God's timing is always perfect, and Jesus was always right where he was supposed to be at the right time. So let's look at what's going on here. First is the location, Samaria. The Samaritan people were despised by the Jewish people. They allowed a mix of traditions into their faith, and to a Jew, a Samaritan was almost a Gentile. When traveling north out of Jerusalem, Jewish travelers would bypass Samaria altogether, taking a route to the east and around the territory. Yet Samaria is actually rich in history. Many of the ancient kings of Israel are buried in Samaria. And so it was with this well that was dug by Jacob so many years ago. And it is no mistake that Jesus takes his disciples into this now forbidden territory and has this encounter with this woman at Jacob's well. It is no mistake that in a land where Jacob struggled with God and had his own heart changed, that this woman will also struggle with the truths of God. There are also striking similarities between what we read and heard about Nicodemus last week and the Samaritan woman in this encounter. Remember, Nicodemus was a learned man, a man of high social ranking, and a member of the Sanhedrin. He went into the night looking for truth about Jesus. He wanted to see how Jesus could do all the things that he was doing. And now today we hear about the Samaritan woman, probably an outcast by even her own people. She's coming to the well in an odd time, in the heat of the day, and alone. And here at this well, she meets a distant relative of Jacob. On his human side, she meets Jesus. And he asks her for a drink. And it's amazing that the doors that can open by a simple request of a drink of water. I couldn't help but remember my own testimony that I've shared with many of you before, and some of you have heard the story. A person who asked me for a drink of water when I was washing my car shortly after I gave my life to Christ. That encounter led to that person sharing about his recommitment to the Lord after seeing a Christian book that was on my table, who then asked me to a Bible study that he was forming for students on campus. And that Bible study decided to meet for lunch one Thursday at a campus ministry. And it was at that lunch that I met my wife, Debbie. So here's this Samaritan woman with her own encounter, and she has some heart issues going on. She is lost in her own sin. If there is anything that Jesus knows besides everything, it is the heart. And that is right where he goes with this woman. He goes after what is troubling her. He goes after what is hindering her. You see, sin is what blinds the human heart from truth. Sin is what deceives us into making up our own lies about this is okay or that is okay. And notice what Jesus does. He takes this woman right into the center of her heart. And out of this dialogue over water comes a spiritual truth. If you knew the gift of God and who it is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. That is exactly what God was trying to get across to the Hebrew people in the reading from Exodus. People were starting to get in a panic mode over the lack of water. They started grumbling to Moses. Here is God leading them by a cloud in the day and by fire at night. They've seen God's miracles at every step along the way on their exodus out of Egypt. Why weren't they seeking him? That's what got God upset. Where was their heart? Let's go back to the Samaritan woman with Jesus. This is where she stands out over Nicodemus. Whatever it is, she wants it, and she wants it now. She looks at Jesus, the very face of God, in the flesh, and says, "Give me this water that I don't have to come here every day." She too isn't making the complete connection between that which is physical and that which is spiritual. But whatever it is, she wants it. Jesus is offering her something far greater than water that sustains the body. He is offering a water that will feed the soul for eternity. And then Jesus helps her to make the connection by revealing her current condition. You see, nothing can be hidden from the Spirit of truth. This woman's eyes are being opened to the truth. Salvation is here. When Jacob had his little wrestling match with God, he too was on a spiritual journey of his own. He too was seeking truth. Jacob also prophesied about the coming of the Messiah. And here is this woman wrestling with her own sin, and God incarnate is standing before her, offering her a way to truth, a way back to the Father. And here her eyes are opening. It is really fascinating to look at all of this from both a historical and a spiritual perspective that is taking place at this well dug by Jacob. The disciples catch up to Jesus, and now they are astonished that Jesus is talking to a Samaritan. They have a lot to learn as well. But this woman is now excited. Something has happened to her. She is overflowing with joy. This is all connected to what Jesus had just said to the woman. He said, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." There are three important words within this passage: worship, spirit, and truth. We've covered these before separately, but in review, Jesus is the fulfillment of all truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life." If we say that Jesus is God, and he is, then all creation is seen and is fulfilled in who Christ is. God created all things. Jesus came to redeem the human race so we can once again experience the truth of who God is. He has revealed himself to us so that we can now know the truth of our fallen nature. To know the need of redemption and to walk a life that is upright and fulfilled in him. Not because we are told to, but because we want to, and every ounce of our being cries out to do so. Why? Because the very Spirit of truth is alive within all who call on Jesus and receive him in their lives. He fills that void in us. He guides us and protects us. He comforts us. And once again, we grasp onto the fullness of this wonderful relationship that we have. It's hard to hold back the joy and wonderment. It releases within us an act of worship. Again, in review, worship is the giving of ourselves totally over to God in response to what he has done for us in our relationship with him. It is not just something that we do. It is who we are. It is offering our total being to him in all that we do. In a few moments, during our time together at communion, during a great Thanksgiving, we prepare for communion and we say these words: "And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee." Now, what does that mean? It means that we give ourselves totally over to Him, and He is glorified through us. Wherever we are and whatever we are doing, we are representing Him in our actions and in our witness to Him. Wherever we go, He is glorified. In these times that we are facing today, what a time to be a witness. I was watching the news yesterday, and they brought on a person to talk about the basketball issues that are going on. That's Pat Williams, and they asked him some questions. Now, Pat has been in management with the Orlando Magic since its beginning. He was instrumental in bringing the Orlando Magic to Orlando. And years ago, some of his many children and our two oldest children were in the same soccer league together. It was a Christian league. I was a coach and a referee in that league. I knew he was a Christian, but this is what he said yesterday in talking about the coronavirus, speaking to millions of people watching. He said, "Above all, we have to seek the Lord in this." And he said that several times in the interview. Above all, we have to seek the Lord. And he's right. God is bigger than this. Yes, we need to be prudent and do all the stuff that the medical folks and the people who are telling us to take precautions. And we've taken those precautions. But we don't need to fear or panic. God is bigger. If you are following the prayer guide and seek God for the city, the scriptures for yesterday were these. And this was so neat that this happened at this particular time. From Isaiah 35, it read, "Take courage, fear not, behold, your God will come." And from Matthew, Jesus was going through all of Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease. And then the lesson called for us to pray for the media, that the message be made. And I think that's exactly what was happening yesterday with Pat Williams giving that testimony of seeking the Lord. The president the other day called for today to be a national day of prayer on this issue that we face. And we will be praying for that. That is why God was upset with the water issue during the Exodus. They were not seeking Him through it. It was Moses who cried out, "They're going to stone me, Lord. Do something. Help me," because they were stiff-necked. Paul also reminds us, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Not sprinkled, poured out into our hearts. It is living water to our souls. He isn't through with us yet. God still uses His people, those who call on His name. And if we let Him, He will continue to pour out His Spirit on the church. He continues to use us. And for that, we give thanks and praise. Because none of us deserve the gift and the opportunities that He gives us. None of us are worthy of such a gift. But He stepped down out of heaven in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus revealed that truth to the woman at the well. She came to know the Messiah was coming. She said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the Christ." And Jesus said to her, "I am here. I am He. I am here so that you can have life." He came here today. We came here today to give Him thanks. We come here today to give Him praise. And we seek after Him in all that we do, in all that we go through. As I was preparing my sermon this week, I thought back to that glass of water that I gave to Dr. Larry Scott, turned out to be the vice president of student affairs at USF at the time, on that Saturday afternoon some 43 years ago. Not only did it lead me to that Bible study and to that lunch, and then I met Debbie, it also led us to Orlando as a family that He gave us in preparing for us for ministry later on. which in turn impacted all of our family and the plans that he had for each of us along the way. And finally, to this place that we are in today, and to this pulpit that I'm speaking from you today, and this sermon that I'm giving you today. All of that, it can be related. All of that is part of what I will call the genealogy of worship and walking in his truth. When the Holy Spirit pours out his truth into us, things happen if we choose to let them happen. It doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. I've made plenty of mistakes. But we all have a free will. But God is always ready and willing to use each of us in so many ways. How do I know that? Because there is more to this passage today that we read. While the disciples were trying to get Jesus to eat something, he spoke to them about the food of another kind. He said, "Look around you. Lift up your eyes and see. The fields are white for harvest." That means the grain was already popping out, ready to open. Because of one changed heart in that Samaritan woman, many came to believe. They too became thirsty. They too, because of what they heard through the testimony of the woman, they came to seek out Jesus, and then they believed. I want each of you to know that God, by his Spirit, has something wonderful for each of you. He wants to build something special in and through you. Later, we'll be singing a powerful song, "Like a Mighty Fortress," and remembering just who God is and how powerful he is in our lives and wants to be in our lives. Let us reflect what he has begun. The time has come, and now is, when true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth. How thirsty are we? May the Lord richly, richly bless us as we seek him in each of our lives. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you want to do in and through each of us. And as we come together today, as we seek your healing for all those who are affected by this coronavirus, as we seek for protection for all of us, Lord God, as we seek for guidance in what you want us to do, as you put people in our lives who are asking questions, give us the words to speak to them, encouragement. Father, we pray that you would sweep across this land and other lands and bring an end to this virus. We thank you, Lord, that you care so much for us. And we thank you, Lord, for the wisdom of doctors and others who are seeking the way to eradicate this. But Lord, we ask that you would intercede by your Spirit as well. Give all of us wisdom. Give all of us a direction. And we thank you for it, Father. We are thirsty, Lord. Fill us with your presence. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.